Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
Inquiring minds want to know. People or souls from every age have asked, what does God look like? And is it possible to know and to understand God? The Bible gives us great insight. It paints a very beautiful and amazing picture of our God. Good people, the Bible identifies for us and explains the origin of mankind. If it were not for the Bible, you and I would lack very intricate detail, very important information concerning our existence. And the Bible defines for us that our God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, but not only that God has created the material universe and all that is within it, but also the Bible reveals for us that our God has created mankind after and according to His image. And the Bible also identifies for us concerning sin, that God has indeed established law, and that in giving His law in and throughout the Bible, more specifically for the age of which you and I are now a part of in the New Testament, God has required mankind, God commands mankind to know and to adhere to keep the commandments of His law, but yet, because you and I live here in the flesh, and because you and I do not desire always to do the will of God, we sin against God, and the Bible identifies for us what sin is, and then in like figure, the enormity of sin, the way in which God looks at sin, and that sin separates man from God. And yet also we understand from the Bible that man's heart is essential for our salvation. How so? Good people, you and I with the heart, and the Bible heart is the mind, must believe unto righteousness, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, and that you and I must believe with all of our heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of the living God. You and I must also believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. But also in these things, you and I must also be convicted of our sin. And the Bible provides the information that is able to convict us of the sin that we commit against our God. God's Word. God's Word reveals heaven's eternal plan of redemption. From Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, throughout the Old Testament Scripture, we have revealed unto us God's saving plan of redemption. God's only plan of redemption. As Isaiah said in the book of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, Isaiah shows us that God's plan would come through a virgin. And good people, in all of this, we understand the fulfillment of this as is brought forth in the book of Matthew chapter 1 verses 23 through 25, is that this virgin birth detailed the existence of the Christ coming through the seed of Mary, and then He indeed is the fulfillment of God's plan to bring forth the Emmanuel, God with us, here upon the face of the earth. In fact, we understand concerning God's plan, as is revealed in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If it were not for God's Word, if it were not for the words that we find given to us in the Bible, good people, we would never know our God's plan of redemption. But also, God's Word instructs mankind concerning God's way. Man has his own ways that he wants to go, that man plans to go in life, and the Bible reveals for us that whenever man goes according to those ways, that those ways lead to, that they result in destruction. They result in spiritual death, spiritual separation from our God. Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to direct his steps. And God wants man to understand, as Jeremiah realized, is that man cannot be right with Him and take steps that are pleasing unto himself. Man cannot choose for himself the direction that he believes to be right and acceptable to God, but rather that man must go according to God's ways, according to His standards, to realize, as the psalmist states in Psalms 119 and verse 105, is that God's Word is a lamp and a light unto us. And good people, you and I must certainly take those steps. to be obedient unto the gospel, to be obedient to God's plan, but also to make certain that whenever we have obeyed God by confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God, and whenever we have submitted ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that we continue then throughout the course of our life until we have drawn our last breath, until our life here is no more, that we continue to seek after and to follow according to God's will for mankind, that we follow in His ways and His ways alone. God's Word also paints a picture of deity. John chapter 1 and verse 18, Jesus says, "For no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten who is in His bosom, He has declared Him." Why did Jesus come to this world? Good people, certainly you and I know that Jesus came to this world to live an exemplary life, to live a life that depicted what deity is or who deity is and what deity is all about. But also we understand that Jesus Christ came to offer His life at Calvary's cross for our sins so that we would have an opportunity and a means of redemption. But also the Bible declares unto us that Jesus came to reveal. To exegete is the context there, the Greek word for used in John chapter 1 verse 18. And Jesus came to explain God to mankind. And what do we learn in reference to the things that we see about Jesus? Good people, Jesus identified that if we have seen Him, if we're able to see His traits and characteristics, then in like figure we're able to know and to understand our God. But not only do we have the life of Christ, the picture that Jesus during the course of His life has painted for us concerning God in like figure, you and I have detailed for us in and throughout the New Testament Scripture and the Old Testament alike, some very important indicators as to what God is all about. No, we do not have a picture painted for us as to what He looks like. That is, from a physical realm, and therefore those who draw pictures of God, it makes me wonder and question, where did they get their idea? Because in reality, we do not have that type of a picture of God. But yet at the same time, we do have great detail concerning who God is and what He is all about. God is omnipotent. He is all rule and all power. That term omnipotent is literally used in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6 concerning the rule and the reign of our God. And Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10 and 11 realized certainly concerning the reign and the rule of our God, that God rules and reigns over His creation, that God rules and reigns from heaven above. And we understand concerning the rule and the reign of our God that nothing is impossible for God. In terms of mankind, there are things that man cannot do. There are things that man will not be able to ever be able to accomplish during the course of our time, our life here. But the Bible reveals for us through the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26 that with God all things are possible. God rules and He reigns from on high. And good people, His rule and reign is universal. God is also omnipresent. He has a universal presence no matter where mankind is. In fact, the psalmist in Psalms 139 verses 7 through 10, the psalmist says, "No matter where I go, God, I know that You are there." In Genesis chapter 28, verses 15 and 16 concerning Jacob there at Bethel, the Lord says unto him that He would be there with him and that He would go before him. And good people, today you and I are promised the same in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. In verse 18, Jesus said, "All power or authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Note verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the context, the end of the age, the end of the Christian age. God, through Jesus Christ, has promised that He will be in our presence in a universal sense, in the presence of all of humanity throughout the course of our life here. But also the Bible reveals for us, the Scripture tells us that God is omniscient. He has an unlimited knowledge. Mankind, we are limited in regard to our understanding and our knowledge concerning not only God, but also concerning most things that we face here upon the face of this earth. With God, God has no limit concerning His knowledge. The psalmist in Psalms 139 and verse 12 understood this. We also understand by Jeremiah chapter 17 verses 9 through 10 that even the darkness, no matter what is out there in this world, that it is not hid from God. God knows all. God sees all. God understands everything. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, the Hebrews writer exclaims that all things are naked in the sight of God. Well, what is the Hebrews writer trying to communicate to mankind? Is that God knows and God understands everything, that there is no limit placed upon His knowledge and understanding. Good people, also, though we understand concerning the portrait that the Bible reveals for us from God, today I want us to identify six things that are brought forth from the psalmist in Psalms 115, verses 1 through 11. In the context here, it is revealed that God is our refuge. God is our refuge. He is there for us. And I find it interesting that some people in life seek after money, and not only after money, after the things that money can buy, possessions, and some will even take pride in owning land. However, good people, God is with us. And you and I need to realize in regard to this that God is our keeper, that He is our protector, and He is our shield, and that the invisible hand of God, if you would, is always there to surround us. While the world will leave us empty-handed, questioning where our life is indeed going, God tells us not to worry about these things, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and following, but rather to take our trust and our dependence upon Him, to realize that indeed He will always be there for us. But also, we need to realize is that God is our portion. While mankind seeks after these things in life, that is, money, possessions, and land, and all that the world has to offer, as Christians, you and I realize that life is not really and truly about things, about material things that this world has to offer. Do we look at those things that the world gives us, if you would, and do we take great pleasure in them from time to time? Likely we do. In like figure, are we blessed as a result of some of the things that the world has to offer? Yes, we are. But yet at the same time, as Christians, we realize that the blessings that we have, even from a materialistic standpoint, that these things have come down from God, our God above. And as Christians, God wants us, as the psalmist, to cherish first and foremost our relationship with God. He is our portion. He is what our life is all about. And good people, the ways in which we are able to accomplish this is to do as what, as Paul said to the saints at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, that Jesus has the preeminence. And that word preeminence literally means is that He is first in our life. And how do we communicate that God is first in our life? By making certain that everything that you and I represent during the course of our time here is all about God. That our life consists, that our life centers in and circles around God. And what is one of the true indicators that truly our life is wrapped around God? Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Good people, if truly God is our portion, if He is what our life is all about, then in like figure the kingdom, the church, and our commitment to the body will show that indeed we love God more than we love anything or anyone else during the course of our time. God is our counselor. You know, the world offers counsel to each of us every single day of our life here. We have counselors in the world that are secular counselors, and these people want to offer advice. And sometimes their advice certainly is needed if they're helping people through depression, if they're helping people to work on their marital relationships, to bring them and to bind them together. But yet at the same time, I find is that sometimes with these secular counselors is that they offer advice that is not in harmony with God's Word. But good people understand that not only can we be misled by those in the professional field of counseling, by the counsel that people of the world seek to offer us as we go through life, and that counsel that they seek to introduce, that they want us to follow, is the same that they are following. And that counsel does not lead us in a relationship with God, but rather it severs the relationship with our God. And for that reason, you and I need to understand that God is indeed our counselor. And the way in which God counsels us is first through His holy and inspired Word. And for that reason, our lives must be filled with Scripture. Our lives must be centered in and around learning God's Word. But not only learning what God's Word says unto us, in like figure, applying these standards to our everyday walk of life, listening to the counsel of God, and then applying those things. Why is that essential? Good people, that is essential in order for us to have a relationship with God, but in like figure, in order for us to maintain a relationship with Jehovah God, our Creator. But also understand is that God gives counsel through His people, through those who preach and proclaim His Word, that is the true Word. God gives counsel through His teachers, through those who have the responsibility and the privilege, I might add, to stand in front of students and to teach individuals or groups of people even the message of our God. And God gives amazing counsel through His elders. I am so grateful for our elders and their understanding of God's Word and their desire to lead us according to God's standards. And we need to listen to all those who are proclaiming God's message to us and to receive that counsel. Why? Because it is essential for our eternal salvation. The psalmist also tells us that God is our companion. God stands where no one else will. We have friends that we will make in and throughout the course of our life here. And true friends stand with us through thick and thin, as we say, but yet at the same time, if you are like me, friends that we have made or maybe friends that we have even been to others, there have been moments in life where those friends are no more, where those friends do not stand by us through thick and thin as they were expected to do so. But yet at the same time, the Bible tells us that God stands with us. He stands beside us. He is available at all times, as the psalmist declares, unto us. And in all of these things, God wants us to understand first and foremost that He is indeed our true companion for life. He gives us a blessing of having a companion, a spouse for life. And He wants us to love, honor, and to cherish our mate, and to make certain that nothing severs that relationship, and that certainly we love more and more as we go throughout the course of life together as a husband and a wife. And do not allow anyone or anything to come between us. But God says, understand, even above that type of a relationship that man and woman will have with each other, that God is truly the companion that will be with us unto the end. What a blessing that is. Amen. To know that God is there and that God will be there as our Father and as our friend through Jesus to help us with everything that we face in life. Yes, God is our security. Many people over the last 3 years have lost hundreds to thousands, tens of thousands, and this is mind-boggling to me, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the stock market. Many have lost their jobs. We even have some here who are suffering the consequences of losing job in this tough economy that we are facing here in this world. And we want you to know that certainly we feel for you, we pray for you, and we want to help in ways that God blesses us that we might be able to help in your times. But to realize that the security that this world offers us is limited. The security that one might face or think that they have in this world in reality is nothing in comparison to that which awaits us because of our relationship with our God. And for that reason, we learn in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, that we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because the world is passing away. The world is not meant to last forever. Does God bless us while we are here? In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 47, we learn that God sends rain upon the just and the unjust. God takes care of His creation. And certainly you and I need to understand that we must do all that we can to earn our living, to earn our living, as Genesis chapter 3 says, by the sweat of our brow, to do all that we can to make certain that we do provide for our family. And as the Bible says, that if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. And to realize that not only men, if we do not work, that we will not eat, but our families will lack in like figure. And for that reason, we need to do what we can to supply for our families. But above that, first, Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, that we are to lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and dust does not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal. Why? Because, good people, that's guarded by God. And that is assured for the Christian as we live our life here. God is indeed our joy. There are things that I have been able, and we have been able, Dawn and I together, and our family have been blessed with, to be able to do here in this world. To meet people above any that we have ever met. The church, universally. Our brethren here at East End, you bring us great joy and pleasure. We love you and we know that you love us. And that is so wonderful to know and to feel and to be a part of. We've been blessed to be able to go and to see things, places in this world that are just mind-boggling and captivating. That during the time that we've experienced those places and things, great joy was upon us. But they soon pass away. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 27 that Jesus brings the peace that surpasses all understanding. How does he offer that peace? Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, the Greek language bears out that true peace belongs to those with whom God is pleased. Why does that bring true peace and joy? Good people, because we know that this life is not what it's all about. And we know as Christians that indeed we do have the true forgiveness of our sin. No matter what we have done in this world, no matter how terrible it may seem, God, whenever we truly believe in Him, whenever we have confessed Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God, whenever you and I have surrendered or submitted ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 that our sins are washed away in that watery grave of baptism. And then whenever we have been raised to walk in newness of life, whenever we live our life different, we know that we continue to be the true child of God. We're able to look beyond this life into an eternal life in heaven with Him. And to that we say, Amen, with great joy and pleasure. The psalmist gives us some pictures of God. Pictures that help us to understand Him, but also he gives us some pictures that help us to truly understand and to appreciate how God looks at us and the relationship that we can and do have as Christians in Him. Today, having seen the picture of what you can have in Christ, are you considering your ways?